Good morning and welcome to Prairie Street Mennonite Church. We're grateful to see each one of you here, and we're also happy to be able to welcome those who will listen online. There are a number of people in the foyer still. So I'm just giving a moment for them to come in because it's a little bit of a distraction. Yeah. Okay. I invite each of you to turn in your Sing the Journey book to song number 3, Jesus Calls Us Here to Meet Him. Today we're going to be hearing from Dorothy Horst, her journey of faith and with the congregation, with the church. And as I was thinking about that, and at Nick and Maisha's wedding yesterday, we heard about the bringing together and the weaving together of story. And I was thinking about how, as a church, we as individuals come to the church with our own stories. And we marry along the way, perhaps, and our two stories get melded together there, and then we join the church, and that brings the story of this congregation, but that this congregation's story ties into the broader story of God's people here in North America and then around the world and so on and so forth. And so it invites the imagery of a tapestry, of a weaving, of a weaving like on this table, where there are all these different threads of different colors and lengths and so forth. And so the journey imagery and the weaving together imagery we're brought well together to meet, for me, and this Jesus calls us here to meet him. We come to meet Jesus from our different places and our different stories, but we're all part of that same story. I invite you to turn in your hymnals for our confession and words of assurance. Turn it to in your hymnal to 832, and I will read the bold print, and I invite you to read the lighter print. It's a reading from Daniel chapter 9. 832. Great and awesome God, keeping covenant and steadfast love with those who love you and keep your commandments, we have sinned and done wrong and acted wickedly and rebelled, turning aside from your commandments and ordinances. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name. Now, O Lord our God, who brought your people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, we have done wickedly. Incline your ear, O my God, and hear. Open your eyes and look to our desolation. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and act, and do not delay. We thank you, O Lord, our God, for the forgiveness that we experience through Jesus Christ. I invite you to stand and share the peace with those around you through saying, oh, I catapulted forward. There you go. Sorry about that.
We're unforgiven.
It's coming. Just like peace, it's coming.
Sing the story, hymnal number 19. Jesus, Jesus, oh, what a wonderful child. And those who are able, please stand.
Jesus, Jesus, so lovely.
And in the Prairie Street Sings folder, number 22. 22. We'll sing once in English and once in Spanish.
It is rather alarming to have Carolyn running down the aisle towards you partway through, but I'm glad it was only a slight oversight. Anyway, I invite you at this time to stand. I wondered why there was such confusion when I said, please stand. People were looking at each other a little bit. So now I understand. So I invite you to stand for the sharing of the peace. And turn to your neighbor and those around you with the words, the peace of Christ be with you, and the response, and also with you. And we invite the children to make their way forward for children's time.
everyone. Welcome. It's so good to see all of you. Yeah, we're first going to pass the basket, and we're starting to collect money for the MCC. It's called My Coins Count. And before you go back to your seats, you're going to be getting one of these cans, each of you, because during offering time, you're going to be taking it around and collecting coins from everybody. And that money goes to MCC to help with, I don't know, special projects. I'm not sure, food and safe water. And there are many places in our world that have needs. So this morning you heard Steve, the worship leader, talking a little bit about that Dorothy Horst is going to be sharing about her life. And when we think about lives, we have a lot of lives here in this church, don't we? Each one of you has a life. And as a church, as a congregation, we weave our stories and our lives together a little bit. And he talked about how our lives are woven together. You know, there are a lot of stories in the Bible about people's lives, different people in the Bible. And their lives are even woven together with ours because we've learned from their lives. And I have this little demonstration here. I don't know if you know what a weaving is, but I've prepared something here. Actually, Johan, my grandson, he helped me a little this morning with this. So this is just to demonstrate a little bit. When you weave, you can weave with strings or yarn or straw. This is even woven, this basket right here. And I have a few other things that I'm going to show you that are woven. But you take a piece and you have these threads or these pieces of straw or whatever, and then you weave it in among them and you make a beautiful design. So there's one, and then you can take the next one, and you can have different colors that you weave, and it makes it so pretty. How many of you have ever woven something? Have you? Okay. All right. So you do this thing, and do you see what I mean by lives being woven together? You know, when we have sharing time here in this congregation, we ask for people to share their joys and their concerns, and then we pray for each other. That's one way we weave our lives together. We pray for each other and support each other. We love each other. And this here is a weaving. This has, this is a rug. This is actually a rug that Johan's grandmother made, not this grandma, but his other grandma. And she works in the MCC store in Newton, Kansas. And she makes rugs like this every day. So that's one kind of weaving. And then this weaving is from Africa, from Ghana. And you see all the different strings that are woven together that make a beautiful thing. And that up there is woven just as well. Steve pointed that out earlier. And then this basket. I didn't notice this. This one's woven, but this one's also woven with different strings and some fibers. So that's really cool. And then, you know, you can even weave with a string in between your fingers like this. You can make a weaving. And, you know, I like to think of with this weaving here, when I was preparing it, I was thinking, you know, maybe this dark part is kind of God's love for us, and our lives are woven there, and we weave our lives together, and they come together through God's love. That's one way to think of it. I'm going to give each one of you three strings, and you can do some weavings with your fingers today. All right. And then you can also come up and get a can. So there you go. And then, here, everybody take a can. What? Oh, okay, right. Okay, that's right. We have to go get the Bible first and bring it forward. Okay.
Okay, yeah, thanks. Turn in the blue folder to number 1, and we will sing Alabaré. We'll sing refrain, verse 1 in English, refrain, verse 1 in Spanish, and then back to the refrain again.
Comes from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that, according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Holy Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, as you are being rooted and grounded in love.
La porción bíblica de la mañana es de Efesios 3, 14 a 21. Por esta causa doblo mis rodillas ante el Padre de nuestro Señor Jesucristo, de quien toma nombre toda familia en los cielos y en la tierra, para que os dé conforme a las riquezas de su gloria el ser fortalecido con poder en el hombre interior por su espíritu, que habite Cristo por la fe en vuestros corazones, a fin de que arraigados y cementados en amor.
I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God.
Para que seáis plenamente capaces de comprender con todos los santos cuál sea la anchura, la longitud, la profundidad y la altura, y de conocer el amor de Cristo que excede a todo conocimiento, para que seáis llenos de toda la plenitud de Dios.
Now to him by the power of the at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen.
Y aquel que es poderoso para hacer todas las cosas mucho más abundantemente de lo que pedimos o entendemos, según el poder que actúa en nosotros, a él sea gloria en la iglesia en Cristo Jesús por todas las edades, por los siglos de los siglos. Amen.
We invite Dorothy forward to pray for her. Thank you, O Lord God of grace and mercy, for this day and for this occasion to learn and hear from you. We pray that you will be with your servant Dorothy, that her words may be edifying to you and to us, and that through her words, your name will be glorified. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
To be able to see your face.
That's okay. Well, when Pastor Francis asked me to tell you this story, I thought, why should I waste God's precious time on Sunday morning talking to you about myself? And then I realized, this isn't my story. This is God's story. And I thought of Psalm 71 that says, "Since my youth, O God, you have taught me, and to this day I declare your marvelous deeds. When I am old and gray, do not forsake me, O God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your might to all who are to come." So, this is God's story, not my story. And the story of Prairie Street Mennonite Church. Well, I was born September 23rd, 1926, soon to be 92. And I'm thinking I'm one of the few people old enough to remember the first Prairie Street Mennonite Church. I have memories of walking to church with my parents and my brother David, three short blocks from our home on Cleveland Avenue. It was a little church, and I don't remember much, but there were horse stalls behind for people who come to church in horses and buggies. Although I don't remember much of the services, I have a vivid memory of the day the church burned. We were getting ready to go to church, and the telephone rang. My father went to the kitchen, sat in the chair, took the receiver off the wall, and said, "Hello?" And he dropped the receiver in his lap and just sat there. And my mother said, "Cleo, what's the matter?" And he said, "Our church is on fire, and it's burning." As a little child, I thought, how will we ever connect with God if our church is burned? The answer was, we will worship in the gymnasium of the Roosevelt School. Now, the Roosevelt Center that's here on the corner used to be my school. And I was almost frightened that first time we walked into the gymnasium of the place where I played games on rainy days in kindergarten and saw the row of folding chairs. Such an unholy place to worship God, I thought. But I soon learned that the place is beside the point. God is where the people are gathered to worship. We continued to worship while our new church was under construction. I remember walking with my mother to check on the progress of our new Prairie Street Mennonite Church. And I found my grandfather up there on his hands and knees working on the steps to the balcony. Now at that time,
Prairie Street Church was entered from Prairie Street here. We came in wide steps up to the sanctuary. There were steps on either side going down to the restrooms and to cloakrooms. The women on this side and the men on this side. And then there were stairs on each side going up to the balcony. At that time, I was thinking about changing churches, and this became my church. Then I was satisfied here. But the next cataclysmic event took place when I was about 9 years old. And Prairie Street wanted to start a new outreach, and they canvassed the community in Jefferson Township. And our family and two other families were chosen to begin work there. And I was not a happy camper to leave my friends at Prairie Street Mennonite Church. The first service was a Sunday evening program by the Prairie Street Men's Chorus to introduce ourselves to the community. It was a rainy day, and we got hopelessly stuck about a mile from church. My father gathered weeds from the side of the road and packed it under the wheels until eventually we were able to get started. And of course, we arrived late to this little one-room church with oil lamps on the wall, so dim we could hardly see who was on the platform. And this, there were outdoor toilets and a cemetery behind the church and a hand pump on the hillside that had to be primed every Sunday and a wire hanging across the side with a tin cup for drinking. This was where I was supposed to go to church. I felt like a church orphan. I cried to my mother. I don't like this church. I have new friends here. But my mother put her arms around me and said, "Yes, that's true, but you'll have to make new friends." Frequently, our Sunday afternoons were spent going from home to home in the church neighborhood, reading scripture, singing a few songs, and inviting people to join us on Sunday. Our church began to grow. Prairie Street Mennonite Church had three pastors, and they took turns holding services for us. And I was able then, when I finally was in high school, my Sunday school class was in the balcony. And when I was in college at Goshen, I came home on the weekends and taught in the basement primary department. So our church had grown and it was my home. But I didn't forget Prairie Street Mennonite Church. A special blessing came to me during the war when gas rationing came into effect, and we could no longer drive our old 29 Buick that 20-mile round trip twice a Sunday. So we had a simple carry-in meal at noon and our evening service in the afternoon. And that left my Sunday evenings free to attend my Prairie Street Mennonite Church with my high school friends. A group of young people would gather after church at the house next door, now the Jubilee House. And we would gather around the piano and sing hymns and eat popcorn. And eventually I would walk home satisfied with church three times a day on Sunday. During my college years, My father, Cleo Mann, volunteered to do post-war work in Belgium. And by the time that I was in college, ready to graduate, my mother and my brother had also joined him, and they were all in Belgium. So, and then a college classmate of mine, Alton Horst from Ephrata, Pennsylvania, interrupted his college education to volunteer to do relief work. And he was assigned to reconstruction of homes destroyed in the Battle of the Bulge, which is the German border. And sometime later, his parents joined that builder's unit, and our two families became acquainted. When I graduated from Goshen College, I went to spend the summer with my family in Belgium, and until his work was over, we all returned to Elkhart, and I began teaching here in Elkhart. During a crisis in the Polish relief unit, Harold Bender, then a leader of the European relief, called Alton Horst from Belgium, who he knew as a Goshen College student rooming in his upstairs apartment with several other college boys. And he asked him to become the unit leader in Poland. That was Alton's challenging and sometimes frightening experience in a country where they were suspected of being undercover spies. And he was frequently called in for interrogation. When the unit finally closed, he returned to finish his college education and graduated with a fifth year THB. Alton remained in the area after graduation, working for Mennonite Voluntary Service, visiting and encouraging serving youth in various units. And he worked as an employed carpenter builder. And he made Pleasant View his church home too. 3 years later, when we were planning our wedding, the big question was, where will we be married? We wanted all of our Pleasant View friends. We wanted our Prairie Street friends. We wanted my teacher friends. Well, what place could host such a crowd? Well, Prairie Street could, but if we have it here, would the Prairie Street preacher or the Pleasant View preacher do the job? Well, we thought about it a while, and finally Alton said, when I was in relief work in Poland and when I was a student at Goshen College, Harold Bender was my spiritual friend. Let's ask him. And so we did. And the two churches celebrated our wedding here at Prairie Street Mennonite Church. After teaching school for 6 years, the Pleasant View Church licensed Alton to the ministry and commissioned us to start a new church in International Falls, Minnesota, just a quarter of a mile from Canada and the Rainy River Mission that separates, Rainy River that separates US and Canada. Pleasant View had held Bible schools there for several years, and three of the Pleasant View families had moved into the area, and they felt it was time to start church there. So we began holding services in a little split log church called Rainy River Mission along the side of the road out of town. Most of the people who came to church never heard of Mennonite. We had men who worked in the lumber mill. We had Catholic neighbors. We had a former Ku Klux Klan member. We had Norwegians. We had Swedes. But God is no respecter of persons. Our church grew. Alton had the privilege of baptizing, among others, Ray Tui, who was known formerly as the town drunk. Never underestimate what God can do. God changes lives. Two of our sons, John and David, were born during our years there. And eventually the work was turned over to another pastor, and we were assigned to begin a new pastorate in a little southern Illinois community where the Illinois Conference had been holding Bible school for several years. They felt it was time now to start a church. So we were moved to a former truck stop along the highway out of Olney, Illinois. And our church in Sumner, Illinois was called Amity Chapel. It was a little one-room church with an outdoor toilet and a cemetery beside it, reminding us of that first Pleasant View church. Here the people didn't speak Canadian English, but they spoke with a southern drawl that we found challenging to understand. They welcomed us with warm southern hospitality, and the Illinois Conference sent helpers from time to time. The church grew. We had new members, and a new room was added, and a church library, and new benches replaced the old chairs. A youth group met at our house once a month. During that time, our third son, Mark, was born. Although Alton supplemented our income by transforming an abandoned filling station on the property into a woodworking shop and doing furniture repair and helping farmers during harvest, eventually the Illinois Conference felt that they could no longer support financially this growing church. After much prayer, they decided to turn the work over to the Rural Home Mission Association, who had other churches in the surrounding area. At that time, we had invitations from two other conferences, one from Illinois Mennonite Church and the other from Harper, Kansas. We visited both places and we felt a warm welcome each place. But after much prayer, we decided we need to support the Illinois Conference that was so faithful to us at our time at Amity Chapel. So from this little truck stop along the side of the road, we were moved to a parsonage in Fisher, Illinois. And to a congregation of 300 members. And God blessed us as we worked there for the next 10 years. At that time, the Illinois Conference was searching for a place to begin a camping program. And one member of our congregation, Joe Massoneri, was on the search committee. And after a suitable place was located, he proceeded to convince our congregation that they would be doing the Lord's will if they would release Alton to be the new camp administrator. By that time, Ruth and Paul were added to our family, and our oldest son, John, was just graduating from eighth grade. After much deliberation, the church agreed, and they celebrated our farewell with freezers of ice cream, and they helped us provide transportation and the move to the new place, a little house along the side of the road by a 350-acre woods, a short walk through the woods to the place that would become Mennonite Camp and Retreat Center. At first, the campers slept in tents, and they moved in a building, and voluntary women cooked the meals And the children at each table washed their own dishes after every meal. Well, fast forward 20 years. Menno Haven Camp and Retreat Center, cabins in the woods, administration building, dining hall, dormitories, swimming pool, craft house, a place for summer camps, for winter retreats, for conference gatherings, for family retreats, for weddings, for baptisms. It's been a long journey with the help of God, with joys and with sorrows. Our son Mark was the third of our sons to attend Heston College. He enjoyed so much serving his inner term in the mountains of Guatemala. At the beginning of the second term of his second year, he was diagnosed with an inoperable chest tumor. After unsuccessful surgery, we had to bring him home. Two series of the strongest radiation were unsuccessful. Don Gronau, his ag teacher, and several students came to visit him, bringing him his assignments with the promise of sending his final exams. And during his better moments, he was able to finish his work, and he graduated in absentia shortly before going home to heaven. Another shelter was built at camp in his honor. After 20 years in a place we called home, it was time to pass the baton to another one to carry on the business. For Alton, it was finally time to do what he had always dreamed of doing, build his own home with the skills that he had learned from his father and in the builder's unit. A farmer friend was anxious to sell a hillside portion that he couldn't farm. So on a sunny afternoon, with compass in hand, Alton went out to determine the exact direction of the sun. And with the help of our sons and our son-in-law, he built a solar retention home. Life was good. The peacocks spread their beautiful tails when he went out to feed them. The family came home for Christmas, and the children hung their stockings above the fireplace in the family room. Yes, life was good until a doctor appointment revealed prostate cancer, and every treatment failed. He said, "We have to move to somewhere where they will take care of you after I am gone." After visiting several places in Illinois and not being satisfied, he decided to stop in Elkhart on our way home from visiting his family in Pennsylvania. We discovered the duplex where I live now, and it was still in the process of construction. It was just what he wanted, and even with the privilege of doing a little finishing himself. Home again in Indiana, and to my own Prairie Street Church. The building had changed. We now came in the back door, and new rooms had been added, new faces, and a new language, but the same God to worship. Alton was chosen an elder, and occasionally he preached a sermon. We became a part of a small group fellowship. But gradually, his health deteriorated and he was no longer able to attend services. Until one Sunday, when he said, "I want to go to church today." I thought, this is impossible. I said, "Well, it's already 9 o'clock. I know, but I want to go to church today." He continued to insist, so I helped him get dressed. Arriving at church, I put him in a wheelchair and we parked in the back of the auditorium there. And Ben Oldenberger preached a sermon that Sunday. And when the mic came around, He gave his testimony. At home after a lunch, which he couldn't keep down like usual, he said, "I want to go to small group tonight, so maybe I better get some rest." I couldn't believe it. I said, "Yes, I think you should get some rest." So he lay down on the bed, and after I washed the dishes, I was so tired from getting up nights with him, I thought, I need to rest too. So I lay down on the bed beside him and was about to drop off to sleep when he said something. And I said, "What did you say?" No answer. "Alton, what did you say?" No answer. He was on his way to heaven. After worshiping God, his last day here on earth, here with you at Prairie Street Mennonite Church. Never underestimate what God can do. I always wondered, what was that that he tried to say as he looked into heaven? Maybe there are no words to say, but I praise God. Never underestimate what God can do with your life. To God be the glory.
Turn in the blue hymnal to number 389, "Take My Life." We'll sing verses 1, 2, 5, and 6. And those who are able, please stand.